Amala quien se abandonga nunca iba a su
55. 58. Hiro finds his own way out and takes the elevator all the way back down to the street. When he exits the neon skyscraper, a black and white girl is sitting on his motorcycle, messing with the controls. "Where are you?" she says. "I'm on the raft, too. Hey, we just made $25 million. He is sure that just this one time, YT is going to be impressed by something that he says. But she's not. "That'll buy me a really happening funeral when they mail me home in a piece of Tupperware," she says. "Why would that happen?" "I'm in trouble," she admits, for the first time in her life. "I think my boyfriend is going to kill me."
"Who's your boyfriend?"
"Raven."
If avatars could turn pale and woozy and have to sit down on the sidewalk, heroes would. Now I know why he has poor impulse control tattooed across his forehead.
"This is great. I was hoping to get a little cooperation, or at least maybe some advice," she says.
"If you think he's going to kill you, you're wrong. Because if you were right, you'd be dead," Hiro says.
"Depends on your assumptions," she says. She goes on to tell him a highly entertaining story about a dentata.
"I'm going to try to help you," Hiro says. "But I'm not necessarily the safest guy on the raft to hang out with either."
"Did you hook up with your girlfriend yet?"
"No, but I have high hopes for that. Assuming I can stay alive."
"High hopes for what?"
"Our relationship."
"Why?" she asks. "What's changed between then and now?"
This is one of these utterly simple and obvious questions that is irritating because Hiro's not sure of the answer. "Well, I think I figured out what she was doing. Why she came here."
"So?"
Another simple and obvious question. "So I feel like I understand her now."
"You do?"
"Yeah, well, sort of."
"And is that supposed to be a good thing?"
"Well, sure."
"Hiro, you are such a geek. She's a woman. You're a dude. You're not supposed to understand her. That's not what she's after."
"Well, what is she after, do you suppose? Keeping in mind that you've never actually met the woman and that you're going out with Raven."
"She doesn't want you to understand her. She knows that's impossible. She just wants you to understand yourself. Everything else is negotiable."
"You figure?"
"Yep, definitely."
"What makes you think I don't understand myself?"
"It's just obvious. You're a really smart hacker and the greatest sword fighter in the world, and you're delivering pizzas and promoting concerts that you don't make any money off of? How do you expect her to?"
The rest is drowned out by sound breaking in through his earphones, coming in from reality. A screeching, tearing noise riding in high and sharp above the rumbling noise of heavy impact. Then there is just the screaming of terrified neighborhood children, the cries of men in Tagalog, and the groaning and popping sound of a steel fishing trawler collapsing under the pressure of the sea.
"What was that?" YT says.
"Meteorite," Hiro says.
"Huh?"
"Stay tuned," Hiro says. "I think I just got into a Gatling gun duel."
"Are you going to sign off?"
"Just shut up for a second." This neighborhood is U-shaped, built around a sort of cove in the raft where half a dozen rusty old fishing boats are tied up. A floating pier, pieced together from mismatched pontoons, runs around the edge. The empty trawler, the one they've been cutting up for scrap, has been hit by a burst from the big gun on the deck of the Enterprise. It looks as though a big wave picked it up and tried to wrap it around a pillar. One whole side is collapsed in. The bow and the stern are actually bent toward each other. Its back is broken. Its empty holds are ingurgitating a vast, continuous rush of murky brown seawater, sucking in that variegated sewage like a drowning man sucks air. It's heading for the bottom fast. Hiro shoves Reason back into the Zodiac, jumps in and starts the motor. He doesn't have time to untie the boat from the pontoon, so he snaps through the line with his wakizashi and takes off. The pontoons are already sagging inward and down, pulled together by the ruined ship's mooring lines. The trawler is falling off the surface of the water, trying to pull in the entire neighborhood like a black hole. A couple of Filipino men are already out with short knives, hacking at the stuff that webs the neighborhood together, trying to cut loose the parts that can't be salvaged. Hero buzzes over to a pontoon that is already knee-deep under the water, finds the ropes that connect it to the next pontoon, which is even more deeply submerged, and probes them with his katana. The remaining ropes pop like rifle shots, and then the pontoon breaks loose, shooting up to the surface so fast that it almost capsizes the Zodiac. A whole section of the pontoon pier along the side of the trawler can't be salvaged. Men with fishing knives and women with kitchen cleavers are down on their knees, the water already rising up under their chins, cutting their neighborhood free. It breaks loose one rope at a time, haphazardly, tossing the Filipinos up into the air. A boy with a machete cuts the one remaining line, which pops up and lashes him across the face. Finally, the raft is free and flexible once again, bobbing and waving back toward equilibrium. And where the trawler was, there's nothing but a bubbling whirlpool that occasionally vomits up a loose piece of floating debris. Some others have already clambered up onto the fishing boat that was tied up next to the trawler. It has suffered some damage, too. Several men cluster around and lean over the rail to examine a couple of large impact craters on the side. Each hole is surrounded by a shiny dinner plate-sized patch that has been blown free of all paint and rust. In the middle is a hole the size of a golf ball. Hero decides it's time to leave. But before he does, he reaches into his coverall, pulls out a money clip, and counts out a few thousand Kong bucks. He puts them on the deck and weighs them down under the corner of a red steel gasoline tank. Then he hits the road. He has no trouble finding the canal that leads to the next neighborhood. His paranoia level is way up, and so he glances back and forth as he pilots his way out of there, looking up all the little alleys. In one of those niches, he sees a wirehead mumbling something. The next neighborhood is Malaysian. Several dozen of them are gathered near the bridge, attracted by the noise. As Hero is entering their neighborhood, he sees men running down the undulating pontoon bridge that serves as the main street, carrying guns and knives. The local constabulary. More men of the same description emerge from the byways and skiffs and sampans, joining them. A tremendous whacking and splintering and tearing noise sounds right beside him, as though a lumber truck has just crashed into a brick wall. Water splashes his body, and an exhalation of steam passes over his face. Then it's quiet again. He turns around, slowly and reluctantly. The nearest pontoon isn't there anymore. Just a bloody, turbulent soup of splinters and chaff. He turns around and looks behind him. The wirehead he saw a few seconds ago is out in the open now, standing all by himself at the edge of a raft. Everyone else is cleared out of there. He can see the bastard's lips moving. Hero whips the boat around and returns to him, drawing his wakizashi with his free hand and cuts him down on the spot. But there will be more. Hero knows they're all out looking for him now. The gunners up there in the Enterprise don't care how many of these refuse they have to kill in order to nail Hero. From the Malaysian neighborhood, he passes into a Chinese neighborhood. This one's a lot more built up. It contains a number of steel ships and barges. It extends off into the distance, away from the core, for as far as Hero can see from his worthless sea-level vantage point. He's being watched by a man high up in the superstructure of one of those Chinese ships, another wirehead. Hero can see the guy's jaw flapping as he sends updates to RAF Central. The big Gatling gun on the deck of the Enterprise opens up again, and fires another meteorite of depleted uranium slugs into the side of an unoccupied barge about 20 feet from Hero. The entire side of the barge chases itself inward, like the steel has become liquid and is running down a drain, and the metal turns bright as shockwaves simply turn that thick layer of rust into an aerosol, blasted free from the steel borne on a wave of sound so powerful that it hurts Hero down inside his chest and makes him feel sick. The gun is radar-controlled. It's very accurate when it's shooting at a piece of metal. It's a lot less accurate when it's trying to hit flesh and blood.
Hero! What the fuck's going on?
YT is shouting into his earphones. "Can't talk. Get me to my office," Hero says. "Pull me onto the back of the motorcycle and then drive it there." "I don't know how to drive a motorcycle," she says. "It's only got one control. Twist the throttle and it goes." And then he points his boat out toward the open water and drills it. Dimly superimposed on reality, he can see the black-and-white figure of YT sitting in front of him on the motorcycle. She reaches out for the throttle, and both of them jerk forward and slam into the wall of a skyscraper at Mach 1. He turns off his view of the metaverse entirely, making the goggles totally transparent. Then he switches his system into full gargoyle mode. Enhanced visible light with false color infrared, plus millimeter wave radar. His view of the world goes into grainy black and white, much brighter than it was before. Here and there, certain objects glow fuzzily in pink or red. This comes from the infrared, and it means that these things are warm or hot. People are pink, engines and fires are red. The millimeter wave radar stuff is superimposed much more cleanly and crisply in neon green. Anything made of metal shows up. Hero is now navigating down a grainy charcoal-gray avenue of water, lined with grainy light-gray pontoon bridges, tied up to crisp neon-green barges and ships that glow reddishly from place to place, wherever they are generating heat. It's not pretty. In fact, it's so ugly that it probably explains why gargoyles are, in general, so socially retarded. But it's a lot more useful than the charcoal and ebony view he had before. And it saves his life. As he's buzzing down a curving, narrow canal, a narrow green parabola appears, hanging across the water in front of him, suddenly rising out of the water and snapping into a perfectly straight line at neck level. It's a piece of piano wire. Hero ducks under it, waves to the young Chinese men who set the booby trap, and keeps going. The radar picks out three fuzzy pink individuals holding Chinese AK-47s standing by the side of the channel. Hero cuts into a side channel and avoids them. But it's a narrower channel and he's not sure where it goes. "YT," he says. "Where the hell are we?"
"Driving down the street toward your house. We overshot it about 6 times.
Up ahead, the channel dead ends. Hero does a 180. With the big heat exchanger dragging behind it, the boat is not nearly as maneuverable or as fast as Hero wants it to be. He passes back underneath the booby trap wire and starts exploring another narrow channel that he passed earlier.
"Okay, we're home. You're sitting at your desk," YT says.
"Okay," Hero says. "This is going to be tricky."
He coasts down to a dead stop in the middle of the channel, makes a scan for militiamen and wireheads and finds none. There is a 5-foot-tall Chinese woman in the boat next to him, holding a square cleaver, chopping something. Hero figures it's a risk he can handle, so he turns off reality and returns to the metaverse. He's sitting at his desk. YT is standing next to him, arms crossed, radiating attitude. "Librarian."
"Yes, sir,"
the librarian says, padding in.
"I need blueprints of the aircraft carrier Enterprise. Fast. If you can get me something in 3D, that'd be great."
"Yes, sir,"
the librarian says. Hero reaches out and grabs Earth.
"You are here," he says.
Earth spins around until he's staring straight down at the raft. Then it plunges toward him at a terrifying rate. It takes all of 3 seconds for him to get there. If he were in some normal, stable part of the world, like Lower Manhattan, this would actually work in 3D. Instead, he's got to put up with two-dimensional satellite imagery. He is looking at a red dot superimposed on a black-and-white photograph of the raft. The red dot is in the middle of a narrow black channel of water. You are here. It's still an incredible maze. But it's a lot easier to solve a maze when you're looking down on it. Within about 60 seconds, he's out in the open Pacific. It's a foggy gray dawn. The plume of steam coming out of Reason's heat exchanger just thickens it a little.
"Where the hell are you?" YT says.
"Leaving the raft."
"Gee, thanks for all your help."
"I'll be back in a minute. I just need a second to get myself organized.
There's a lot of scary guys around here, YT says. They're watching me.
It's okay, Hero says. I'm sure they'll listen to reason.